This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Today is believed to be a deadline for Maui Mayor Mike Victorino to decide what to do about vacation rentals on Molokai. The issue of whether Maui should phase out short-term rentals in the whole county will be the subject of a 3 p.m. public meeting on Maui on Friday. We talked to Maui's planning director, Michelle McLean, about where the county is on its efforts to curb illegal runaway rentals.
We have two kinds of permits for short-term rental homes or bed and breakfast homes. And those are single-family homes. The main difference between the two is that a bed and breakfast is owned and operated by somebody who lives on the property and runs the accommodation. And a short-term rental home does not have an owner-operator on site. And we have 150 permitted bed and breakfasts, and we have 226 permitted short-term rental homes. And the feedback that we're getting from the community is that they don't mind and are even happy with bed and breakfast because there's a long-term residential presence on the property, but that they're not very happy with short-term rental homes because they don't know who their neighbors are anymore. And so right now we're just exploring whether to phase out those particular operations. And then in addition to our hotels, we have roughly 6,700 apartment condo units that can lawfully do short-term rental. And not all of them do, but many of them. We have quite a variety of visitor accommodations. And right now we're just exploring whether to phase out short-term rental homes. And we have been doing, and this is just within my department, we've met with a handful of interest groups. We met with the Maui Vacation Rental Association, the Realtors Association of Maui, the Hotel and Lodging Association. So we're meeting with stakeholder groups, and then on this Friday at 3 o'clock, we're having just a public meeting for anybody else who wants to come in and talk about the issue. I should add that since we met with the Realtors Association and the Vacation Rental Association, we have been bombarded with emails from people expressing their opinion on this, most of them against the idea of phasing these out. Many are asking about the condo properties, and we are not talking about the condo properties right now. We're just talking about the short-term rental homes.
So I can see that there are people who are renting out these properties, and it is a help for income, but it is a concern for some of the neighbors.
Yes, it is. And certainly we understand that this is a different kind of visitor experience than people can have in hotels. But we're thinking more about our community and our residents. And I can understand the feeling of not wanting to have a vacation rental next to you. You don't know who is going to be there on any given day. And even if they're quiet and respectful, you still don't know who your neighbor is. We also believe that they contribute to the higher property values that we're seeing certainly on Maui and other places in the state, that they contribute to the high cost of housing. And some of these homes did used to be in long-term rental. We've heard many examples of owners choosing to go to short-term rental because they can make a lot more money.
What can you tell us about the enforcement actions that you folks have taken? You know, what are the challenges?
There are a lot of challenges to enforcing. Our laws do provide that advertising is evidence of operation. So the way that we enforce is predominantly by researching ads. And with all of the different hosting platforms out there now, that keeps us very busy. We, in fact, have hired a contractor who we've had with us for well over a year now to help us identify ads, because any operation will advertise on multiple platforms, and they're very sneaky with how they advertise. They don't show exterior photos of their property. They can even, if they have their own website, they can block Hawaii IP addresses from accessing it. They will advertise on the weekends and the evenings when they know that our staff isn't working. And so by having this mainland contractor to help us, they can get over those obstacles and help us track ads. On any given at any given moment, there are between 20 and 30,000 ads for vacation rentals on Maui. And so those have to get screened for all of the lawful ones, whether they have permits or whether they're in these condos that are allowed to do the activity. And so diluting those down, it dilutes it down to just a few hundred potentially unlawful properties. And that's a much more manageable number. But we do, we have had successes. Last calendar year, we issued 180 notices of warning, 80 notices of violation, and those come along with fines. We collected about $50,000 in fines in 2019 and have another roughly $300,000 in fines pending because those violations have been appealed. So we have had many successes in enforcement, but it's an ongoing challenge. It's kind of like that game Whack-A-Mole, where we'll find an ad and we'll cite the owner, and then that ad goes down, but then another ad for another operation pops up somewhere else.
Now, in talking with Kauai's planning director, we understand that some of the stiff penalties has acted as a deterrent.
I think so. Maui County had a charter amendment in the 2018 election to increase our initial fines from $1,000 per day to $20,000 per day, and our daily fines from $1,000 per day to $10,000 per day. And even though that charter amendment passed in 2018, we also had to amend our county code, and we had to amend our departmental administrative rules. So it took a while before we could start imposing those. But I do believe that it has served as a deterrent. The attitude that, oh, well, we'll just chance this until we get caught, and if we get caught, it's $1,000. Well, now if you get caught, it's $20,000.
And how are you looking at the cases where there's just willful disregard for the laws? They just don't care.
When we do our enforcement, after we issue a notice of violation and levy fines, if we don't find compliance, then we turn it over to our corporation counsel. And that goes to the litigation section. And they will first send a demand letter to the operator. And then if that doesn't succeed, then they will take court action. So we have had to do that on rare occasion. Usually once they get the demand letter, they'll start cooperating.
Talk about the rules that you have in place that deal with bed and breakfast permits, because you have something in there, if I recall right, that says if you have a notice of violation that you're preempted from applying for additional permits for a certain time, right?
Right, right. For bed and breakfast, it would be a 2-year ban, and for short-term rental homes, it's a 5-year ban. And we do keep a ban list of folks who have fallen under those provisions, and we have, I believe it's just over 600 individuals on our ban list.
Wow.
So that's reflective of the enforcement efforts that we've done, because once we issue those notices, even if we achieve compliance and they stop advertising and operating, they also get added on the ban list.
And you have the additional challenge of dealing with rentals on Molokai and Lanai, right?
Yes, yes. And actually on Molokai, we don't have any permitted bed and breakfasts. We do have 17 permitted short-term rental homes, but the county council has just passed a bill to phase those out by the end of this calendar year. So they would be able to operate and even get extensions, but by the end of December, they would have to stop altogether.
Yeah, from my understanding is that the majority of those are out of state owners.
Yes, and actually with the 226 total short-term rental homes that we have countywide, roughly 50% of those are not state residents.
Wow, so that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that we are looking at phasing out the ones on Maui. Now, the bill that the council just passed for Molokai would phase them out by the end of this year, but we would look at a much longer phase-out period. Knowing that a lot of visitors make their reservations way in advance, we would want operators to be able to honor existing reservations. So we would look at a longer phase-out period if we do go forward.
And then what about the situation with Lanai?
On Lanai, the council member from Lanai, Ricky Hokama, has recently drafted a bill calling for a moratorium on issuing new bed and breakfast and short-term rental home permits. I don't believe that's been introduced yet, but he did send out a press release about that, has sent the bill to us for review. We haven't had a chance to review it yet, but just coincidentally, we have been spending some time with the Lanai Planning Commission to look at revisions to the short-term rental home ordinance that they're looking for. In all of the regions on Maui, there are caps for the number of B&B and short-term rental homes that can be issued. Lanai doesn't have a cap, so the Lanai Planning Commission is looking at establishing a cap and maybe making some other revisions.
I guess I worry about Lanai just because I know with Larry Ellison taking over and he's revamped those hotels, they're pretty pricey. And even the Hotel Lanai, I think, is up there now.
Yeah, when we go over for Planning Commission meetings, we have to stay overnight, too. And I just saw some of the paperwork for the last time we stayed there, and Hotel Lanai is now over $300. And I have asked our staff to look into staying in a permitted short-term rental home the next time they go, because that's just a lot of money. So I don't know that Councilmember Hokama is interested in phasing them out, but I think he does want to look at other restrictions that might be appropriate for Lanai that aren't in the law right now. Because the community there knows that people come over for sports competitions or to visit family or to go hunting, that they do want to have alternatives.
Right, and I can see how that would be a problem, and particularly, let's say, in your case, like I said, you're just trying to do your job as public servants and reach out to that community, and if you're having difficulty booking a reasonable accommodation there, what do you do?
Right. Well, I'm certainly insistent that we stay in a place that has permits, because we're not going to be contributing to the illegal operations. And we have been working with the Lanai Planning Commission. When I talk about potentially phasing out short-term rental homes altogether, at the same time, we're looking at possibly broadening what a bed and breakfast home is so that there would be some local relationship to the operation, because we do know of some people, Maui residents, who own and live on their property and also own the property next door. They have to get a short-term rental home permit for the property next door, but maybe that could be turned into a B&B instead because they live there. They're still overseeing the operation.
A very complicated issue, and hats off to you for trying different things, because it's not easy.
No, it isn't. And so I wanted to note that one of the reasons we're proposing this, besides the contribution that these operations make to higher housing costs and the impact to the community, is when the bill was adopted in 2012 to create this permit process, it was expected that all of these operations would come into compliance. And the reality is that there's still many that have not. So that was the original goal, but we really haven't met that goal. And we're still having to fight all of these illegal operations. And the illegal operators can hide among the lawful ones because they'll put a permit number on their ad that in fact isn't their permit at all. It's someone else's permit. That original goal wasn't achieved. And when that process was created, the hotel industry was very supportive of it, with the idea that a rising tide lifts all ships. But that climate has changed, and it is having an impact on the hotel industry, and they're not so supportive anymore. And if we were to see an economic downturn, it's going to be impactful to the hotels, which employ so many more people, and we want to make sure that our hotel industry is protected.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Again, a big week for you folks there on Maui, and we'll just see how this all plays out.
Yes, we will.
We have been talking with Michelle McLean, Planning Director for Maui County, about enforcement efforts on the Valley Isle. For information about the Friday community meeting, head to our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.